Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. For today's podcast, Pastor Huey continues our Sticks and Stones series and the power of our words as he teaches on the sermon title, Reverse the Curse. So prepare your hearts for a wonderful and powerful message from God. Enjoy and be blessed.
Turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And I'm having to use the handheld today, which makes it a little bit different, Dave. I'm used to having it on my head, and my hands are free where I can talk with my hands. But you guys remember last week my mic popped and kind of, well, it went out. So got a new one on the way. But so this one will do for today. Genesis 3, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then the Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Titled Sticks and Stones, the Power of Our Words. And throughout this series, we have looked at how words affect our world, how words affect the world we live in, because as I've said to you many times during this series, our world is shaped by our words. So words are very, very important. Well, today, we're going to ramp it up a little bit. And forcibly in faith, forcibly by faith, we're going to come against, we're going to pull down, we're going to remove from having any influence over us, over you, over your life, any and all curses from the past. I believe that after today, many of you will be freed from things that have plagued you perhaps for years. But I want you to begin to exercise your faith right now. I want you to begin to believe that the Lord came in and charged the atmosphere during our worship with his presence, because he's ready to do much more. So I want you to begin right now to let your faith meter rise and begin to believe that you're going to take hold to something that's going to change your life and transform you, and it's going to deliver you from something of your past that Jesus has already delivered you from. We're going to talk about things that are brought on by curses that perhaps you are not even aware of. Now, curses come in many forms, but There's only one origin of a curse, and that is Satan. He uses the words of people. He uses the actions of people to enact a curse, but he is the sole source. So what type of curses do we want to break over you, see broken over your life today? I'm going to name just a few. Want to come against curses brought on by witchcraft. What do you mean by witchcraft, Pastor? I'm talking about people who literally worship Satan, that use incantations and speak things against against people and against the body of Christ to release into their life a presence of darkness that becomes a plague, that becomes something that hinders them in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to break the curse of witchcraft. We want to break generational curses. Generational curses that comes in the form of sickness, disease, sexual sins or addictions, just to name a few. Things that gain a foothold in an ancestor. In an ancestor, a forefather. And that ancestor, because he or she opened up the door for Satan to come in, became the doorway for evil to be passed from generation to generation to generation. Often there's an evil spirit associated with generational curses that causes the affliction to be passed down from one generation to the next until someone in the family breaks the curse. Say, that will be me. Say, that will be me. Any curse, any generational curse in my family will be broken today. Amen. Say, that will be me. Want to come against spoken curses. Words spoken over you. Either spoken intentionally as an act to harm you or spoken out of ignorance. But we want to break words that have been spoken over you. We want to break words that have been spoken over your marriage. Over your children, over your family. I want you to be thinking right now about what needs to be broken in your life. Because I cannot name all of them, but the Holy Spirit can prompt you even now to say, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to set you free of today. This is a curse I want to break in your life today. So I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit as you listen to me, but listen to him closer. Regardless of how spoken curses came about, regardless of who spoke them, how it was spoken, whether it was intentional or done in ignorance, a lot of parents curse their children in ignorance. A lot of parents curse their children in ignorance. They just say any old thing. And what they don't realize is that Satan is an opportunist who awaits a door to be opened, that once that door is open, he stepped through it. Want to break unspoken curses? Please hear me. These are curses that people often bring on themselves. Please hear me. You got to get this. When they allow a heart of bitterness or a spirit of unforgiveness to take root. When we allow a bitter heart, when we allow a spirit of unforgiveness to take root, we open the door for the enemy to come in. Want to come against what I call self-imposed curses. Curses that are brought on by what you say about yourself. I'm amazed at how many people speak words of death over their own lives instead of words of life. My wife's favorite sister, she was the closest to her, so that, you know how it is when you close to age to someone. Passed away in 2007. Her father passed away in 1971 at the age of 52. Her father was 52 years old. Lanita would often say, I don't think I'm going to live beyond the age of 52. You know how old she was when she died? 52. Coincidental? Take it for what it's worth. I'm just sharing the story with you. But we speak things. We self-impose things on ourselves by the words that we speak, and we don't realize Satan is waiting for us to open our big mouth so that he can stick his foot in it. Self-imposed curses are also brought on by sin. By disobedience to God and his word. The curses that were spoken in the garden happened because of Adam and Eve's disobedience to God. The serpent may have deceived them, but they made the decision to disobey. But any curse that is uttered, that is spoken, that is prayed over or released into your life in any capacity is ungodly. You got to get that. Some of you need to change your mind and stop thinking that you got what you deserve. You know what I deserve? I deserve the goodness of God. I deserve the life that comes from Jesus. I deserve health. I deserve wholeness. I deserve being financially secure because Jesus has already done that for me. That's what I deserve. So any curse is ungodly. There is no curse against man that has any sense of, please hear me, this is what God wants, or this is what God wanted. None. Zero. God wants to bless you and not curse you or see you cursed. God does not want to see you cursed. The one thing I want to do today is help you see and understand that God is not the author of any curse spoken or released against you, because God never cursed man. He never cursed man. He never cursed man. He is a God who blesses, not one who curses. When Balaam the soothsayer was hired by Balak to curse Israel, God's people of covenant, the Lord met Balaam, and he put a word in his mouth, and he said, now you go back and tell Balak this, you go and speak these words. These words are found in Numbers 23, 19 through 20. God said to Balaam, you tell Balak this. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is son of man that he should repent. Had he said and will he not do, or had he spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. I forgot to give you the title of the message today. Reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. Balaam said, God has blessed Israel, and I cannot reverse that. God has blessed me. Who can reverse that? God has blessed you. Who can reverse that? He has not cursed you, and he does not want you to fall prey to the curses of Satan. You have been blessed by God, not cursed by God. Satan is the one who curses, and your understanding of that begins the process of reversal. When you understand that Satan is the one that curses, it begins the process of reversal. Many people think that they're cursed because of what Adam and Eve did. So I want to look at today's text, and I want to defunct that myth that God cursed man as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. What we see in Genesis 3 is three things were cursed, but man was not one of them. Number one, Genesis 3:14, God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed, and on your belly you should go, and you should eat dust all the days of your life. But also implied in the curse of the serpent, it's the curse of Satan. In verse 15 says, and God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between you and her seed. And he, speaking of Jesus, the seed of the woman, shall bruise your head, Satan, and you, Satan, shall bruise his heel. The phrase, you shall bruise his heel, refers to Satan's repeated attempts to defeat Christ during his earthly life. He shall bruise your head was God prophetically declaring to Satan that Jesus is going to defeat you. He's going to overcome everything you throw against him. And he's going to rise from the dead, and he's going to redeem my people. You may bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. A strike or a blow to the heel is not deadly, but a crushing blow to the head is. That is what Jesus did. He crushed the head of Satan. And in so doing, he destroyed his ideas. He destroyed his plots, his plans, his ability to undo God's plan for man. God's plan for man was a good plan. And it still is a good plan. And Satan comes to undo that. So the serpent was cursed. Satan was cursed. And in verse 17, we find the third and last curse. To Adam, he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have not eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you should not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil, you should eat of it all the days of your life. So three things were cursed because of the fall of man: the serpent, Satan, and the ground. But nowhere in that do we see that man was cursed. God will not curse what he has blessed, and you and I are blessed. Now, there was a penalty that man paid for his transgression. And I want to quickly point out those penalties. We see in Genesis 3:16-19 that there was three ways man was affected by Adam's sin. The first was suffering. This natural consequence of sin was introduced into the human race. God never intended for us to suffer, but sin brought on suffering. The second, sin disrupted the beautiful relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. Prior to sinning, they would walk with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. And listen, there was no fear among them or in them. There was no angst. There was no worries. There was no work. They didn't have to work, guys. Just a beautiful state of existence with God. And the third thing is Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, as we read in Genesis 3:23-24. They were kicked out because God did not want them to eat from the tree of life and live forever in a state of brokenness. Do you realize that? Once they transgressed, they became broken inside. Had they been allowed to partake from the tree of life and eat of it, they would have lived forever. But they would have lived as a broken man and a broken woman. And God did not want that. Is that not what he said? He said in verse 22, if man put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever, God did not want that. But there was no curse, only consequences of their disobedience. Pain was introduced in the childbirth. Man was told, you now have to work to live. And mankind was denied the right to eternal life in their current state. But there was no curse. So where do curses come from? Who orchestrates them against man? Of course, Satan does. And I believe every curse he brings against you, God has already reversed. We must speak words into the atmosphere that sets in motion the reversal of those curses. In Genesis 12, God makes a promise to Abraham to not only bless him, but also bless all the families of the earth through him. When we do as Abraham did, we're blessed just like he was. So what did Abraham do? Abraham exercised faith in God. Genesis 12:3, God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. These are covenant words spoken to Abraham. God established a covenant with Abraham, telling him he would found a great nation. And he said, not only Abraham will you be blessed, but other nations will be blessed through you or in you. And out of Abraham's loin came Jesus to save and to bless all humanity. And through Jesus Christ, we can have a personal relationship with God and be blessed beyond measure. God's desire and intentions are to see all of mankind blessed and not cursed. But that blessing only comes through Jesus. You know, I find it interesting in Genesis 12:3 that when speaking of being blessed, it implies that many can do that. See what he said? I will bless who? Those. That's plural. But when it comes to curses, what did he say? I will curse him. You see that? That means blessings can come through many. Curses only come from one. Satan is the sole source. He may use people. He may use situations or circumstances to carry out his evil deeds, but he alone is the source of curses that comes against us. We are in covenant with God, a covenant that he instituted with our father of faith, and then he fulfilled in Jesus. And in that covenant, there are no curses, only blessing. God has blessed you, not cursed you. And what God has blessed, no one can curse unless you allow it through doubt, unbelief, or disobedience to God. In Genesis 17, God changes Abraham's name from Abram, which means father of height or exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. And God pronounces his blessings not only on Abraham, but on all who follow God as Abraham did. Genesis 17:5-7. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in all generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. That's what God wants. He wants to be God to all of us, to all of the descendants of Abraham, those that are natural descendants and descendants by faith. We are in covenant with God through Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm in covenant with God through Jesus. As a matter of fact, God's covenant was made with Jesus on our behalf. A covenant that neither God the Father nor God the Son will ever break. We are eternally in covenant with God. And because of that covenant, we have been freed from all curses. Genesis 3, 13 through 14. I'm sorry, Galatians 3. Forgive me. There you go. They was like, what do you mean Genesis? Galatians 3. Look at this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Listen, you got to get this. Jesus became a curse for you. He has paid it all for you. Satan has no right to curse you because Jesus has blessed you by taking on whatever penalty, whatever curse you may have been subject to, he took it on for you. All curses over your life was broken over 2,000 years ago. He became a curse for you. Now, you got to stay with me for about five, I'm going to be finishing up in about four or five minutes, but you got to get this, you got to get this last point. In Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68, we find a list of curses associated with disobedience to the law. You got to get this. Curses associated with disobedience to the law. But what does Galatians say? It says that Jesus has delivered us from that. He's delivered us from that. He's delivered us from the curse of the law. You got to get this. Deuteronomy 28, 3 through 13 gives us a list of blessings that Jesus has provided for us. So I have a question for you. Do we have the right to claim the blessings of the law if we're not subject to the curses of the law? Yes, I submit to you that we do. A resounding yes. You may say, how can you say that, Pastor? Glad you asked. Matthew 5, 17. Do not think, this is Jesus speaking, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. So why can I rightly claim the blessings of the law? Because Jesus has fulfilled the law for me. Why do I have the right to say I am not subject to the curses of the law? Because Jesus became a curse for me. In his life, he fulfilled the law for us. And in his death, he destroyed the curse against us. Do you get that? He's done it all. He became a curse. He hung on the tree. So whatever curse is associated with the law, I'm not subject to those things because I'm in Christ Jesus. He's fulfilled the law perfectly for me. I can never do it, but he's done it already. So I'm not cursed. But I claim the blessings. Because Jesus fulfilled the law. And he lived the life that I could not live. So I want to conclude by reading over you this morning the blessings that Jesus has provided for you. I want you to listen to this. Deuteronomy 28. And all these blessings, I want you to receive this. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. And Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's podcast. Thanks again for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.